Welcome to the MS News Today podcast. I'm your host, Jen Powell, and I also have secondary progressive multiple sclerosis. I am a columnist with MS News Today at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Thank you all for listening to this podcast. Let me invite you to join our MS forums. We have over 1,000 active members discussing common themes and sharing their experience on living with multiple sclerosis. Please consider joining. You can find the link to the MS News Today forums in this episode's description. Welcome to the Multiple Sclerosis Podcast. I am your host, Jen Powell. Joining me today is Dominic Shadbolt. Diagnosed in 1994, Dominic went from patient to advocate, founding the MS Guide in 2021. Leveraging his previous professional expertise in the pharmaceutical, IT, and consulting spheres, as well as founding and selling a successful business, has enabled Dominic to attract a range of high-profile guests, from inspirational patient leaders to experts in the field of MS neurology, making the MS Guide a successful patient-to-patient YouTube channel where people across the world can share their experiences of MS. He regularly talks to experts in order to share important information about the disease. Dominic, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Jen. I'm embarrassed by that.
Well, you have so much preceding you. I couldn't get it all in.
Just for everyone's benefit, Jen asked me to write a bio and I was trying to leave it all out. And I said, please shorten it, but you haven't.
I shortened it, but I don't know if I did you justice because you have accomplished so much. And I think it's remarkable what you've done for the MS community. You were diagnosed with MS in 1994. And I read that you went on with life as if nothing happened. Was that an intentional thing or did you just want to ignore it?
I'm going to answer this a different way. At 17, I was absolutely invincible. And at 24, I still had most of that. Nothing's going to happen. And there was no internet. There were no mobile phones. There was not. I did some reading. I worked in the pharma industry. My then girlfriend was in clinical research and it was just, it is what it is. And sometimes you're dealt a crappy hand and sometimes you're dealt a good hand. You know, I think some days you're the pigeon, some days you're the statue. You know, it's just how it goes. And I remember having a conversation with somebody going, well, I like mountain biking. If it comes to it, we'll design an all titanium full suspension wheelchair because I'm damned if I'm just going to sort of sit at home and take it, should we say. But you don't know what's coming down the pipe. You just have no idea.
That's a good point. And at that point in time, what were your first visions when you heard multiple sclerosis? I mean, without technology that we have today to be Dr. Google, what did you have as far as knowledge?
Well, my job then, back in the day, I was a pharmaceutical rep. And so the first thing I did was head into the, some people might remember these, they're places called libraries where there's a bunch of books. And I went into the library in Kettering General Hospital, as was, and looked it up. And I just remember going, that doesn't look great, but what can I do? You can't sort of wish it away. There's an element of denial. There's just the, you know, what totally disempowered compared to these days. You know, there wasn't a community per se. There wasn't any sort of other, you just like suck it up, cupcake, and get on with life. You know, it's just, I don't know. You know, it's not, it's if it's bravado, it's false bravado, you know, because you're left with no option. The thing that upset the most was, I wish that a doctor had taken me aside and said, before we chat any further, you might like to insure your critical illness, sort of, you might like to look at your critical illness insurance options. And, you know, because the second somebody utters the words or writes it down, that's it, you're out of the game for insurance. And I'm thinking, I could have made quite a bit of money just from...
Isn't that true, though? I mean, there's so many changes that have been made in America. And for everyone who does not know, Dominic is in the UK, and everyone listening here knows pre-existing conditions and insurance don't jibe.
Same thing. You know, you can't get insurance for critical illness if you've got a critical illness. And MS comes under, from an insurer's perspective, critical illness.
I laugh only because a sick laugh, because it's such a conundrum.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, but then I think, Jen, it may sound a little bit sort of false, but I think I can turn the lights on. I can have hot food. I am not wondering where my next meal comes from yet. And, you know, there's a lot of people in the world that are really, you know, their lives suck compared to mine with MS. Mm-hmm. I've got excellent medical care. You know, I can sit in front of a computer. All these things, I do that to keep myself sane and keep it in balance.
I think that's healthy, and it is quite true. So I think that's actually something that we can all do to try and remember. I mean, if we're fortunate enough to be on that side, to have what we do have and to be fortunate. Where were you during this time in your life? You were with a girlfriend, but did you have a career settled, and did the symptoms that led you to get diagnosed start interrupting that?
I thought I had, because, you know, the MS comes at you sideways. You know, it's the sort of thing you don't see coming. You know, I went out for a run, looked at my feet, and felt like I'd stuck my fingers in a toaster. And that was the hermit's sign. And, you know, that went on for a bit. And long story short, that's what led to me being diagnosed, you know. And and then, you know, the MS, typically with people, it comes and goes to start with, so you're just like, what's all the fuss about? I feel fine, you know, and you're getting on with stuff and you're doing things. And it's only now, I know you and I are the wrong side of 40, but it's
or
only
right
now, you know, well, yeah, you could say, yeah, right side, those poor sods that haven't even made it yet. But the whole leaky pool model thing by Steven Krieger, who's a doctor in the States, you know, this whole idea of your functional reserves sort of going down and exposing things, I'm starting to get those kind of hints that, you know, the invincibility at 24, where you just, it all went away and you're like, yeah, so what? You know, my first real frightening thing was, I was giving a lecture, it was my job, and I was in Tel Aviv, it was commercial, and I'm talking to this group of guys, IBM was our client, I think, and my voice stopped, just like that. I just turned to the board and started drawing the most complicated diagram that I could think of. It had nothing to do. I mean, buy yourself some time, Shadbolt. What's going on? And, you know, you're being paid. It's your job. And then you're just having the second sort of strand in your brain's going, oh, God, what's happening? You know, what are people going to think? And maybe it would have been good that I disclosed it beforehand, but I don't want to disclose it now. And, you know, it's all these, you know, what if. And I bluffed my way through it because it came and went. That was a thing, because you don't know what's going to happen. And then, but you go home and you're just going, that wasn't fun.
You know, you bring
a blanket with a load of people.
Absolutely. No, but I'm sure your diagram threw them for a loop, thinking you're brilliant for drawing this complex equation. So well played.
Well, I like, one thing I really like about the Israelis, they're like the Dutch, they're very blunt. Eventually, after about a minute, this guy put his hand up and just went, what are you doing? And I thought, oh, I'm being rumbled, you know. And I just raised a finger because I still couldn't speak and said, you know, I just looked at him and they thought, this must be really wise. You know, he's not even talking. I was actually trying to do a diagrammatic version of Bernoulli's principle, which is what happens, creates lift on a wing, the airplanes fly, because I thought I can remember that. And that was not what it was about. out the lecture. I wasn't doing a physics talk. But it's like trying to draw a picture where you start on the outside so nobody understands what it is. It's like there's this big reveal because it was just the, oh, I'm going to look like a real idiot in a second. But you squeak through.
You do, and it brings up another point. You were working. How long were you able to keep, or did you still keep that job for lack of a better word, for your abilities? I mean, did the multiple sclerosis start to interfere with your daily life?
Looking back, and I don't know if it's finding MS is a convenient thing to blame for being a bit of an idiot, but I always, I had the attention span of a fly. I wanted to think, I was very poor at political games and things like this. I mean, if somebody was an idiot, I'd share it with them for their own personal growth. And not everyone, especially idiots, like that being made clear to them. So it's and when the idiot's powerful than you, then who's the idiot? You actually, because they win. And but it's just I don't think MS, because I'd suppress it. And I just didn't want to deal with it. And you've got others, like you said to me earlier, life goes on. So you've got all the other rubbish in life that's happening, and it's too easy to put everything through the lens of MS, I think. And I'm very keen not to always go, it's probably the MS. You don't. I mean, I've sustained horrible injuries from my active lifestyle. I've broken both collarbones, my ankle, I've had my knee operated on, I've broken my right femur, my nurse just rolled her eyes. My MS nurse went, Jesus, she said, you're going to kill yourself long before MS does anything to you. It's just, it is what it is. I mean, we're all in a different place. We all got there on a different route, and we've all got a different memory of what happened to get us there.
Very true. Yet something was a catalyst to bring you from that individual to a very active advocate. And was there a certain catalyst or something that occurred to shift your perspective?
I was looking back and trying to think, what sort of got me down this route. And in the UK, we've got quite a good rail system, and it's a tiny country compared to the US geographically. So, taking the train's not a strange thing. And they have discount rail cards for different conditions, or not conditions. You can get a student rail card, you can get an old person's rail card, and you can get a disabled person's rail card. And I thought, well, actually, I think I'll get one of them mostly because it saves me 30% off the fares. And it saves my wife 30% off if she's coming with me. She was horrified. I said, be my carer if anybody, well, that's what it is. You're my carer. I said, and you know how MS is a hidden illness largely. I said, if anybody questions us, I'll just twitch and drool a bit. That'll put them off. And, but then, oh, you can't get one. I'm like, what do you mean I can't get one? I've got MS. And they had decided that they were going to specify how disabled you needed to be counted as disabled. And we have legislation in the UK called the Equality Act 2010, and it lists three conditions that count from the day of diagnosis as a disability, of which MS is one of them. And I just, it took some digging and grinding, and I got a bit like a dog with a bone, and I thought I'm gonna, and I finally got to them and just said, well, this is a big government sort of quango, we call it, quasi-autonomous non-governmental organization. It's a, and I said, well, I suppose we could go to court and we could all then hear you explain how this act of parliament doesn't apply to you, but knock yourself out. And they went, well, you know what? And I involved my MP, it's just like your sort of senator, your congressman, or whatever, and said, and I think they thought this probably won't fly. And guess what? Everybody with MS could have one. And I put on a couple of forums, and people were sort of thrilled and happy. And I didn't think it was that big a deal because it's kind of fun to have a fight that you know you're going to win. It's like, how could you possibly lose this? You've got the law on your side, you've got everything, you've got public opinion. It's like, right, I want to see you stand up and say, I am going to decide what a disability is, not the law. And it kind of went from there.
That's a huge accomplishment because I believe you're speaking of the your rail system, and I can't imagine somebody being subjective on your disability, on your degree of disability. And to change that for those of us who may look well sometimes and be thought of as well and completely shamed into not being able to utilize that. Thank you. I can't imagine how much you pave the way for people to feel safe again and travel.
Well, I mean, I just think, you know, if you're entitled to something legitimately, it's not trying to sort of do some swizz, you know, to get yourself a discount. It's not like trying to pretend you're 14 and get into the cinema for a, you know, a junior rate rather than a, you know, it is what it is. And so that's kind of what stuck in my craw was, you know, guys. And, you know, in fairness to them, that, you know, it wasn't a massive fight because I just sort of laid it out and said, you know, you realize how bad this is going to look and how we can go. And, you know, but you deliver it with a smile. You don't threaten somebody. You smile sweetly and say, I can't imagine you'd want to have your job and be the guy that said no. You know,
well played, Dominic. Well played.
it doesn't. It wasn't like I had a 3-year campaign and had to recruit all these people. I just did it with sort of a few letters and phone calls. But, you know, we got there. And
I think that's quite an accomplishment. I would like to shift over to 2021 when you started the MS Guide on YouTube. Can you tell our listeners about the MS Guide, its evolution, what inspired you to start it?
I can tell you, I don't know if he'll be listening, but I can tell you the person that I blame personally. It's I know one of the doctors in the States called Aaron Boster, who's got a very popular YouTube channel. And we were chatting one weekend and he said, oh, you got to do this. And I was like, no. You know, the first time you hear the sound of your own voice on a recording and you think, oh, gosh, I sound terrible. And it's, you know, so you kind of get over it because Aaron's point of view was, men are underrepresented, which is not normally the thing in life, frankly. But, you know, MS tends to be a disease that affects more females than men, about 2-to-1. And we're historically just great at talking about our feelings and things like sex and stuff. I mean, that's nothing more than men like to do is sit around at the bar and talk about how something makes them feel. And so, but, I mean, I can reflect MS sucks. MS has done things, you know, classically, if I could play it again, you know, I'd do it differently. And so hopefully it's just sharing some of the things which may have worked for me.
And, you know, typically you're right. I think for men to be able to discuss and realize that some of the things we experience with MS from, you know, erectile dysfunction or lack of libido or other aspects of the disease, which are difficult to talk about, this platform has to be somewhat of a safe space. Who are the majority of your listeners, percentage-wise?
I'll take you 1 second back to things like sex is to normalize it. It's to talk about it. You know, you say the word erection and some people sort of go and look the other way. And it's just like, it's a fact of life. You know, we all got here by our parents having sex at least once. Well, you know, at least. And, you know, it is a basic human urge, desire. So when something like MS is getting in the way, you know, Aaron and I did a podcast about it for another company. You know, and it was we were just talking about it and I held up a pack of Cialis and he just started wetting himself laughing. I'm going, have you seen these? And I said, they're magic things.
You know, good for you because you hit the key word, normalizing it and not stigmatizing, because these things are everyday occurrences with many of us, and to normalize it is to take away some of the stigmatization that exists and some of that we do to ourselves. So
That's
Thank you.
a classic thing, Jen. You think about a young man who's freshly diagnosed, not probably his topic of conversation with his pals, lads, I can't get it up, is not going to be your opener when you're out on the beers with your friends. And so, but to realize that other people with MS, yeah, it's a thing, or it can be a thing and stuff, and da da da, you still don't want to necessarily go and talk to your pals about it, but you're thinking, oh God, it's not just me. It's something. I can bring it up with my doctor. My doctor thinks it's not, doctors have heard everything. It's the doctor isn't going to be shocked. But if you haven't spent much time with doctors, all of a sudden you're spending a lot of time with doctors and nurses and stuff. And thankfully, I've been a drug rep. That was really lucky because, I'd spent all my time in hospitals with doctors and nurses anyway. So it was just like, oh, change the topic, folks. And,
How
but
have, I'm sorry, go ahead.
no. Is that you were going to say?
I really would like to know how the MS Guide has transformed your own journey with multiple sclerosis.
That's a good question. MS is just a thing now. In some ways, I was joking with a friend, going, God, my day is like MS from 9 to 5 or 8. But I don't really feel like it's my MS. But it makes it easier to drop myself into the whole MS conversation because I've heard so many different versions of things. So whether I'm interviewing experts, I'm not shy. I just pick the phone up and go, hey, can I talk to you? And I've had some amazing people, like Aaron Bosser and Mitzi Joy Williams and stuff. And it's just like, I think the worst thing they can say is no, and I think that's a benefit of being older. Just don't care.
Go for it.
But I mean, nothing about MS, which is an ever-present thing in your life, I really can't think of anything that would sort of shock me. You hear it all, not necessarily to do with you, but you hear it all, and it's really, really helped form my thinking around how badly I think MS is treated. And when I say that, I mean this whole watch and wait and its mild approach and everything, and it's just, oh, it's not going to kill you. And there's still a cohort of doctors out there who tiptoe up to it, and I always think when that poor person is disabled 20, 30 years down the line, that neurologist probably isn't going to be there to have to look in the eye the consequence of their failure to engage properly with the patient, to treat it early with high efficacy medications. I mean, all this, and in your country, in the States, the insurance company is trying to force people onto the second tier medications, and then the more progressive doctors, Barry Singer, Aaron Bosser, Mitzi Joy Williams, Brandon Bieber, whatever, they're the kind of people that seem to me to take it to the drug companies and go, or the insurance companies rather, and say, no, this patient needs this, because the insurance companies are looking at their bottom line for tomorrow, not for 20 years' time. That person making the decision isn't being bonused on reducing costs for 20 years' time, they're being reduced on bonus for reducing costs now. And you often get that with budgeting in here. We've got a nationalized healthcare system, but all the costs are about now, not about what will this person cost us. Just forget the human costs. They're going to need a wheelchair, they're going to need extra therapy, they're going to need all this, and it's very short term.
And you bring up the high efficacy DMTs being utilized more frequently now for newly diagnosed or kind of some doctors skipping over or really fighting hard to put aside the tiered approach. I look back to my own experience of being on one of the crab drugs, which is, Copaxone. And for me,
I've been on them, but they were
yes.
the only ones there at the time. I don't mind if that's the only one available. It beats the heck out of a slap in the face with a wet fish, as they say. But now it's like saying, oh, you broke your leg. Well, stick some leeches on it and tie a couple sticks around it.
Yep. But the thing is, when I was diagnosed, there were higher efficacy DMTs, but you don't know what you don't know. So I don't spend much time there. But now that we do know better, I like that you are elevating such an important topic to those who can then go to their doctors and discuss this because it could potentially save them from further disability that they will never be able to get back.
What blows my mind? I was speaking to a patient about somebody I know, and I was going, well, there's other options. I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you what to take. You should, but I can point out that there are other options. And they went back to their doctor, and she said, what about this drug? And the doctor went, oh yeah, we could do this. And it's like, my gosh, how come it took her to have a conversation with somebody else, me? Why on earth wasn't that doctor going, hey, there's this drug? I'm sort of picking the phone up or getting the nurse or whatever. But, and they never would have done it if she hadn't turned up and said, hey, can I have this? And that's just baffling. The psychology, forget MS, the psychology that must be going on too. I'll be mean about some doctors in the sense I think they just, they close their book at the end of the day and I'm playing golf. And then there's other doctors. There was one who said, well, I call up my particularly. The patients that I think are particularly lonely, I make a point of calling them on Christmas Day. And you're thinking, here's a doctor who's not being paid any extra to do this. They are engaging with the human beings and just thinking this person could be lonely at nice to just have a quick chat with somebody and for someone else to be thinking of them.
That's hugely important. I think mental health is often overlooked by physicians who are treating the classic signs of our disease. However, I think that is gaining more and more awareness as to the importance of caring for the patient. Patients' mental well-being while they navigate their physical disease.
Okay, I'll tell you how I think of MS and leave it in the edit or not, but it's a bunch of vandals. An indeterminate amount of vandals have been let loose in your brain with cans of spray paint. And, they're off vandalizing your brain. Now, when you see an active spot on an MRI, it's because the cop car drove past and caught them in the act of spray painting. And it's like, I've got you little bugger. And, but does not mean that there's not the rest of the gang somewhere else in your head. And your brain controls an awful lot about your mood and stuff. So back to your mental health point, why on earth wouldn't there be a strong possibility that not only the physical things, like are you clumsy, are you dropping stuff, falling, but are you feeling, do you laugh inappropriately? Do you cry inappropriately? Emotional control, are you up and down? I mean, I get pretty down sometimes. It's just lying there at night in the dark thinking, this is all crap. But you sort of get a grip on yourself, but it doesn't, nobody's immune to that. And does the MS make it worse or harder or deeper? Who knows?
How do you navigate difficult days like that?
I do stuff. If I sit around, the more, if I sit in bed, I will start to feel tired regardless. For example, the best way for me to start combating fatigue is to get my backside out of bed. Because my God, is it nice to sit there with a cup of coffee and a book, and then all of a sudden it seems to, you feel tired again. But it's I do stuff because if I'm, for example, talking to you, let's say I'm not having a bad day, but were I to be having a day where you're thinking I'm pretty hacked off with God and His universe, it's to go and do something, like to engage, to talk, to whatever. We're dreadful at multitasking. I don't care what people say about men or women or left brain, right brain. That doesn't exist. But the fact is, that human beings are very good at doing one task after another. So if you choose your task to concentrate on being pissed off, then you'll guess what? You will be. But if you make your task doing something else, talking to Jen, editing a video, whatever it might be. It is hard and it passes.
I
But
like
I trick
that.
myself, yeah.
Well, you have to treat yourself and you have to give yourself grace on those days. I think it's inevitable. It's an inevitable part of having multiple sclerosis, both physiologically and environmentally. I mean,
It's
they're.
an inevitable part of life, you know, and I think it's easy with MS to think that you're sort of special. I think I can look at people for all you know, they're being ravaged by cancer, or you know, their wife left them this morning or something. You know, they could be having a pretty bad day. And so it would be arrogant of me to assume that my suffering's the best suffering, should we say, or the most valid suffering. It's just like I said earlier, there's that phrase, you know, I was in the army back in the day. It's like, suck it up, cupcake. And just, you know, that's what you got to do sometimes.
How can people find the MS guide, and how can let me know a little bit about the repertoire of your guests? I would like my listeners to know a little bit about who you have on the MS guide.
About just under half my viewers are in the States, and just under half are in the UK, and then believe it or not, India is third place. Who knew? And at least that's where the computers at YouTube think. You just go to themsguide.com. It's you know, put it in the show notes. It is a YouTube channel. That's all that does, is that goes to the YouTube channel. It's nothing flash. I do it in the corner of the spare bedroom. You know, if I was to turn the camera through 90 degrees, you'd see the guest bed. I live in a little apartment with my wife. We talk about all kinds of things. So, you know, there can be me talking to a professor of neuroscience, David Baker, at the one hand about B cells, because everybody talks about B cells, but I thought, you know what? Let's actually speak to somebody who knows what on earth a B cell is, and can sort of put this in perspective. And I don't tolerate people being sciencey. I just say to them, you got to stop, say that again. And in a way that, you know, the rest of us in the world can understand. Because academics kind of forget, you know, and I don't blame them. They're super smart, you know. But then, you know, I've had a mix of patients. We were talking about bowel issues. You know, there was a patient in Ireland, a patient in DC, she was, and a patient in Holland, and me, you know, and we're having a four-way discussion about that. You know, we, you know, sometimes because we're not constrained by drug companies, we, that's the royal we, I am not constrained by drug companies, you know. Somebody, a friend, was one of the first people to get Kesimpta. So they just telling me about that. You know, I've spoken to Candace Lewis in Texas. She's on Kesimpta. She just pulled it out in the middle of the conversation, the Kesimpta, I might add, and just started talking about it. And you know, Tyler Campbell in Texas. You know, he's Tyler Campbell is, I always pull his leg. I say, you know, he's a one step away. He could be a great preacher. He'd be really fun to
I
watch. You know, that guy would be
completely
awesome.
agree.
Oh, but I mean, he's a fantastic, but everyone's got a different perspective. I mean, that's the thing about MS. You know, I've spoken to Natalie, a young woman in with two kids in London, who went straight on to stem cells because I think it was my words, but it, you know, her MRI looked like a bomb had gone off in her brain, and you know, and the neurologist said, I think we might want to just jump straight into this. There's a series of somebody undergoing stem cells on the thing. Rachel, a friend in the UK, she had it, you know. Incredibly brave. You know, she was shooting shorts, you know, just on her phone. You know, when she lost all her hair, she was in hospital. She was, you know, tired, emotional. It's hard work to get stem cells. I mean, worth it. I mean, Rachel now, 6 months on, it's like she's been given all the juice back plus somebody else's. She will not stop smiling. And it's like a day. I just said to her, is there anything you don't smile with? She went, no, I smile all the time now. You know, but it's just all kinds of stuff. I'm just about to do. I do shorts on my exercise because I love my exercise, you know, and I just want to show other people that you can do it. I've had it 29 years and I exercise.
What do you do?
Well, I do a lot of rowing now. You know, I get all the sort of, I wouldn't say obsessive, some people might, my wife, but it's you know, it's I got 100,000 meters in 1 month. You know, it's my intention to hit 1,000,000 meters for the season. You know, and the season's the same for some bizarre reason as the tax season. So it's
There's no coincidence there.
But it's you know, things like that. You know, I was climbing, but I just kept picking up so many injuries. It gets really hard work. You know, when you're just constantly, should we say, overly painful. You know, pulling things. I used to ski a lot when I was younger, but I'm better in my head than I am in reality now. I'm a legend in my own mind for the things I used to do, but
I
you know,
like that. I'm going to use that saying.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm the other friend, legend in my own lunchtime, you know, but it's just
that's enough time.
You know, I don't ride bikes as much anymore now because I've had a couple of nasty. My eyesight's affected. So when I flick my head round, you know, I no longer ride motorbikes because I think I don't want to die prematurely. None of us want to die prematurely. And you think, I don't want to be on a track day and make a mistake and take out somebody else and hurt them because I was too arrogant to say I need to draw a line under this and stop. You know, I loved riding motorbikes.
I want to remind people that the link to the MS guide will be in this episode's description. And as we close, Dominic, it's been a complete pleasure. What message would you like to leave with our listeners?
Winston Churchill had a phrase, and he said, you've got to keep buggering on, because essentially KBO, you know, just some days you're the statue, some days you're the pigeon, you know? So when you're having a crappy day, just remember, not every day is going to be like this. And I wish I'd been diagnosed with MS at 24 now, because the treatments that are coming down the pipe, I think, would significantly alter things. But it's just, you know, anybody who's newly diagnosed, in some ways, lucky you, you know, good timing. It's, you know, in other ways, you know, when it's all crap, somebody's got it crapper than you.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you, Dominic, and thank you for joining us on the Multiple Sclerosis Podcast.
Jen, you flatter me. It's the first time I've been in such esteemed company looking at the people that you've interviewed, so I'm very grateful for the opportunity. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I want to thank all of our listeners at Multiple Sclerosis News Today. Thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Podcast. I am your host, Jen Powell. Share your thoughts on this episode through social media. You can find MS News Today on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Follow us to keep updated on the latest news and to never miss new content and initiatives. Click the links in this episode's description.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com.